Good news for the lovers of the red fruit with the seeds on the outside. The strawberry crop is 2 weeks early in Iowa, and the berries are now ready to eat. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese for Charity Nebbe. William Allen Butler wrote in the 19th century, "Doubtless God could have made a better berry. Doubtless God never did." A lot of people feel this way. This hour we'll hear about the strawberries that await us. We're told they're especially sweet and abundant this year. Joining me will be Judy and Dean Henry of the Berry Patch Farm. And after our berry update, we'll welcome your garden and plant questions for Richard Geron and Linda Nave of Iowa State Extension. But first, the news. It's Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese, filling in today for Charity Nebbe. There's nothing finer than the taste of a fresh strawberry. Sweet and delicious, it's the true taste of spring. In fact, strawberries are the first fruit to ripen in the spring. Americans eat an average of 3.5 pounds of the delicate fruit each year. And for strawberry lovers here in Iowa, there's good news. They're out 2 weeks early this year. We're told that they are abundant and flavorful. To start our horticulture hour, we get an update on our Iowa strawberries. And in just a few minutes, Richard Geron and Linda Nave will be here from Iowa State Extension. But we want to start with two of Iowa's longtime fruit growers, Judy and Dean Henry of the Berry Patch Farm in Nevada. And let's see if Judy is there. Judy?
Yes, good morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day to be out to the berry patch.
Oh, man. Yeah. It certainly is. We had some great rain yesterday. I assume you got some, too, there.
Yes, it was very adequate, and the fruit responds quickly to good rain. It was wonderful.
Oh, sure. So we have an excellent-looking strawberry crop this year, Judy. They're abundant, you say, and especially sweet?
Yes, the sunshine has given them a wonderful flavor. Everyone's been very pleased.
Okay, how many strawberries, how many acres do you have there?
Right now we have 10 acres.
Well, that's a lot of strawberries.
It is.
And so
lots of folks will come pick them.
Uh-huh. And so you're open right now for picking?
We are. We go mornings 8 to noon. And people will come and pick their berries, and they're finished by noon. And then we close the farm on Sunday, and we start again next week, 8 to noon, right along.
Mm-hmm. Pretty big crowd so far?
Oh, yes. Yes.
How does this strawberry crop compare to seasons past?
This is Dean. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Hi, Dean.
Okay, good.
How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling. The berry crop is really good this year. We had such a mild winter that they came through really strong and with a lot of vitality. And our only big problem was getting through several frosts overnight, and that was done with the sprinkling and covering some. And so they're real good, and all the sunshine makes a great flavor, of course, like Judy said.
Mm. And how long have you been growing berries?
Oh, something over 40 years. I don't know exactly. I lose track.
That's a long time.
Yeah. We've been here on the farm for over 40 years. And we started growing strawberries as a hobby when we were still in Iowa State as undergraduates and lived in Pamel Court.
is that right?
Yeah. And we've always been attracted to growing strawberries.
How do Iowa strawberries compare to other regions? Are they better?
We think they're much better, and
okay.
They have a much less chemical control than they do in the South. Southern strawberry has a minimum of like 14 sprays a year, maybe up to 30 or so, and we don't have to spray but maybe one time every spring, way early in the spring, and that's it. So some of the reputations for strawberry chemicals were undeserved for these local berries. We just don't have the problems that they do in the South.
Mm-hmm. And you have all other berries also, right, throughout the season?
Go ahead.
Yes, we're looking forward to a wonderful blueberry crop, which will start in July. There's 10 acres there to pick. And then we have a raspberry crop that will probably come in soon after that, maybe mid-July. So we'll have some wonderful berries for people to come and get.
Okay, let me ask you this. Why are strawberries always first?
I don't know. Just the nature of them.
Just the nature of the way they grow, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I read somewhere they're actually in the part of the rose family. I did not realize that.
Yeah. The botanical.
Always smell good. If you put a lot of them in your car, you'll really enjoy the smell.
Yeah. Luckily, they don't have thorns.
No. Neither do blueberries, so they're very friendly for pickers, and people have a very good time when they get here to pick those.
I would think strawberries would be easier to pick, though. They're just maybe easier to grab and put in your basket, right?
Well, you have to bend over to get strawberries, and you don't have to do that for blueberries. They're within reach of even a chair. A lot of people sit down in a chair and pick blueberries,
mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
I've never sat down on a chair to pick blueberries, but I guess, or strawberries, but I guess you could.
It can be done.
Are
Have
there
you been
more
out here, Dennis?
No, no. And I actually wanted to ask you, you're located south of Nevada, which is in Story County.
Right.
How do you get there?
Well, S-14 is the road that you take south of Nevada, 4 miles, and then turn east on 280th Street. The address is, if people have a GPS, is 62785 280th Street.
Okay. And you have a big sign or something?
Yeah, there's signs out at the intersections of the road on Highway 30 are coming up from 210 as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's signs there.
Are there, you've been in the business, as you say, for 40 years, and I wanted to ask you, Judy or Dean, are there more berry patches in Iowa now than there used to be? I don't remember so many when I was growing up here a long time ago. But it seems like berry farms are getting a little easier to find. Is that your perception?
Well, it actually has changed a lot. When we started, it was a real popular idea. We'd have people coming from a long way away, and yeah, the pick-your-own idea was the concept that was just catching on. And that the pick-your-own has dropped in popularity and now is on the rise again the last few years as people realize the importance of local foods. That's the emphasis now. And so there are probably a lot of really small patches around Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the major ones have risen and stopped and for the last 40 years.
Uh-huh. There's just something really, really nice about picking your own berries. This is just a great way to connect with the land, to use a cliche or something. But it is a very gratifying experience, I think. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way.
That's important for children to see where their food comes from.
Yeah, we took the grandchildren to pick blueberries last summer, and they got such a huge kick out of it, even though it started a huge thunderstorm. We were out in the middle of the patch, and it started to just rain buckets, but they got a kick out of it. Is this, looking back over the decades, Dean, is this one of your better strawberry crops compared to many, many crops you've seen?
I think it is. It's above average in terms of quality, especially. The season, though, is shortened up. It started super early, and that's going to be done early. We typically like to go a month at our season, and I don't think we'll go that 4 weeks as strong as we have in the past because of the extra heat that we had early on. These temperatures now are just perfect for them. They're just wonderful.
Okay. Well, I want to thank both of you very much, Judy and Dean Henry from the Berry Patch Farm near Nevada. I wish you well. Hope you have a great season and lots of customers.
Well, thank you for having us, and we'll look forward to having you come and see us for any season.
I would love to do that. I'll try to do it.
Thank you,
Judy and Dean. And joining me now from the IPR studio in Ames is Richard Geron and Linda Knave. And welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you enjoyed listening to them. I certainly did.
Yes, they're always full of a lot of good information, and I learn something every time I listen to them.
What did you learn today, Linda?
Well, I didn't realize that they had started actually as Iowa State students back before they started their berry patch farm. They were growing strawberries, so they've been with it a long time.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we have a good season, and that's great to hear. And we hope the other berries are the blueberries and raspberries have a great seasons as well, a little later than the summer. Are you hopeful?
Well, if we have adequate moisture, that would be the key, I think. We have been dry in certain parts of the state, and most of your fruit crops, like strawberries, raspberries, they would like about an inch of water per week. And many areas have been a little bit dry. So as a home gardener, if you have that ability, go out there and water once a week when it is dry. And that should help quite a bit, especially when the fruit are forming. It's important that they get adequate moisture.
I don't see much rain in the forecast, unfortunately, but we'll hope for the best. This rain we just received was certainly a blessing for the southern half of the state that was so terribly dry.
Very beneficial.
Well, I want to tell our listeners that we are now officially open to take your questions and your emails as well about anything about plants, gardening, landscapes, berries, and to Richard Giron and Linda Nave, Iowa State University Extension. And our number is 866-780-9100, or you can email us at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Do we grow other berries beside strawberries, raspberries, and blueberries here in Iowa?
Those are the main crops, and they're fairly easy to grow. The exception would be the blueberries, because blueberries require an acid soil, which we don't have. And so to grow those successfully, we have to amend the soil. We have to make it more acidic. And a good way to do that as far as a homeowner is when you plant these, take the soil, about half of the soil from the hole, and mix that with an equal amount of sphagnum peat moss. And that peat moss is very acidic. So when you backfill with that 50-50 mix, that should lower the pH to that range which they prefer. They typically prefer a pH around 4, 4.5, 5.
Okay. One of my favorite berries is the blackberry, but I don't think we grow those here, do we?
Well, it's hard because they're not reliably hardy, especially the older varieties. But there are some newer varieties, Prime Jim and Prime Jan, and they will bear on the current year's growth in late summer, early fall. Most varieties, as far as blackberries, will winter kill in Iowa, but these will produce the first year. So we can actually grow those fairly well.
Okay, we'll take a break. Richard Giron and Linda Nave from Iowa State Extension. We'll take your calls here on Hort Friday, 866-780-9100. Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org.
Let me take you down.
It's Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese filling in today for Charity Nebbe. Charity will be back on Monday, and it's Hort Friday with Richard Giron and Linda Nave from Iowa State University Extension. Our number to reach Richard and Linda with all of your plant questions, 866-780-9100, or email us at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is sort of prime time for all the gardening and plants right now, the middle of prime time, right?
Well, as far as planting things and sprucing things up, yes, definitely. As far as planting annuals, your marigolds and petunias, as far as annual flowers, your vegetables like tomatoes and peppers and those things. So this weekend should be busy. It's supposed to be nice. We've had the rain, so good planting time.
Here's an email from Craig. Is it too late to plant blueberry bushes this year?
No, if you can find plants growing in pots, and you can, then I would go ahead and do that as soon as possible.
Okay. Teresa is on the line from Iowa City. Good morning, Teresa.
Hello.
Oh, and you're on the air.
Hi. I have some red currant bushes that have lots of berries coming up. But two or three days ago, I noticed that the leaves on one of them were very curled up. And underneath, when I looked, they were covered with little white things. There seems to be little flying insects, and I'd like to know what to do about it. And, of course, I don't want to put any thing that would make my berries inedible.
Do the insects actually fly?
I didn't try that.
Okay. I'm thinking they might possibly be aphids.
Yeah.
Aphids are small. They're kind of pear-shaped. They vary in color from white to green to red.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they suck sap from the plant tissue.
Yeah.
So they don't chew holes in the foliage. But as they feed, sometimes the leaves will curl mm-hmm. as a result of the feeding.
Yeah.
And so if they're aphids, you can use insecticidal soap on them.
Okay.
And that should control them. But you have to get it directly on the aphid. So you have to direct the spray on the underside of the foliage. And
yeah.
if you do that, that should work. You could also just go out with the hose.
Yeah, that's what I did. I took the hose and I went underneath the leaves mm-hmm. and I just, you know, blasted them.
Right, kind of blast them off the plant. You can do that too. So yeah. so either of those would be fine if they're aphids.
Yeah.
And with the insecticidal soap, be sure and apply that in the early morning, the cool hours, or later in the afternoon, okay. early evening when it's not so hot, because it could damage the foliage if it, we call it phytotoxicity, could cause some little bit of damage. So make sure you apply insecticidal soap. It's very safe, but just during the cool part of the days.
Okay, so it's something I can get at any garden center and then mix it in a spray bottle, or it already comes in a spray form?
It comes in both forms, either as a concentrate that you mix with water at a specific rate
yeah.
and spray on, or that comes pre-measured and all you do is just apply it.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa, for that call from Iowa City. It's good to hear about currants. I'd forgotten about that fruit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with currants other than make jam?
Jams and jellies, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of berries that you don't think of that are available in Iowa now. There are several Aronia berry growers out in the western part of the state. They even have an Aronia Berry Association.
Mm-hmm.
Aronia berries are high in antioxidants. They're used as juices and fillers and a whole bunch of other different things. Then we have the currants. We have the gooseberries. Of course, we mentioned blackberries. But in raspberries, we have red raspberries, black raspberries, yellow raspberries. So there's a lot of different fruits that we don't often think about when we think of the fruit crop in Iowa.
My grandmother used to grow ground cherries, and I think that's like a totally forgotten thing now, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't say that. It's a vegetable, and
it's a vegetable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh
it
my
is.
Gosh. Okay, I didn't know.
It's a fruit, but we consider it a vegetable.
Right.
Mm, okay.
Great in sauces and things like that.
Yeah, but it's very distinctive, wonderful flavor.
Right.
When sweetened.
Okay, when sweetened. Okay, very good. Ruth is next from Winterset. Hi, Ruth.
Good morning. Another beautiful one in Iowa.
Yes.
Everything looks fresh and clean, and I've been busy moving my indoor plants outdoors, and now it's time to put the asparagus bed to bed.
Okay.
What do I do?
Well, the first thing that I would do would be probably go out with a hoe and hoe the area to make sure the weeds are controlled. And do that periodically, so a little bit of shallow hoeing and hand-pulling to control the weeds. You could put on a little bit of fertilizer if you wish, and that's basically it through the rest of the summer. Control the weeds.
That's a big-time job.
Well, it is. It is. You have to stay ahead of it. Right.
Yes.
The key there is to get them when they're small.
Mm-hmm.
Do not allow them to go to seed, because if they go to seed, there's going to be more next year.
Right.
So it's something that you have to kind of do on a regular basis. But if you do that, later on, the asparagus plants will get so big that they tend to crowd out the weeds because they get so big and ferny that it's typically not a problem later on in the summer.
I've been down on my hands and knees underneath those big bushes at when they do get big, trying to get some of them too. So I just needed to know if this was the time to fertilize or not. And
yeah, you can. You can put it on a small amount. Use like a a 10-10-10, an all-purpose garden fertilizer.
Okay.
And basically just leave them and let them die back naturally. We'd normally suggest to leave the foliage standing over winter and then cut that dead foliage back in late March, early April.
I think you told me that one time. I've asked you this probably every year, and I forget what to do. But that leaving that, then that kind of keeps the snow and...
Right. That dead debris will catch the snow, so you have a nice layer of snow covering the plants. That provides protection. Then it melts, providing moisture for the plants.
Yeah. Well, my bed is getting old, and so I have to be really careful with it. So I thank you very much for your information.
Good luck, Ruth. Enjoy the nice day.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Ruth from Winterset. We'll go next to Merle, who is dialing us from Algona. Merle, hello.
Hello. Yes, I have some grapevines. I have 12 grapevines, and the grapes are coming on, but some of them are turning brown, like they're drying out. Do you know what's going on?
Boy, I would suspect they might have some type of fungal disease. Do you see any spotting of the foliage?
No,
or is it just on the berries?
Just on the berries.
Okay.
I do spray with a fungicide.
Okay. What you might want to do is, if you have a digital camera, take some close-ups of the fruit, the berries, the damaged ones.
Okay.
And then send those down to the plant diagnostic clinic here at Iowa State and see if they can identify it based on the photos. The email address for the clinic is P as in plant, I as in insect, D as in disease, C as in clinic, at iastate.edu. So PIDC at iastate.edu.
EDU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Merle.
Thank you.
Merle is good to hear from Algona, Iowa, in the far north. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Dennis Reese for Charity Nebbe. The number for the Hort Gang is 866-780-9100. Email is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Next up is Terrell from Marion, Iowa. Hi, Terrell.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I just moved to this house about 18 months ago, and I wanted a berm, so I had my landscaper bring in some soil, and I have a feeling it's mostly compost, and I wondered what the nutrient value was in the compost, because my daylilies, which I planted last year, and they did fine, but this year a lot of the leaves are turning yellow and then dying. And I wonder if it's short of nitrogen or if there's some other problem.
Boy, I would doubt that. Mm-hmm. You could just go out there and just sprinkle a little bit of fertilizer around the plants to see
this
if they perk back up.
This morning I gave them a foliar fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. That'll help.
So,
well, what you could do is maybe send a soil sample into the soil testing laboratory. See what the pH is.
Yeah.
See how much phosphate and potash are present. And you could use like a water-soluble fertilizer like Miracle-Gro.
That's what I put on this morning.
And see if they respond to that type of fertilization.
Can I get those kits, containers, at the extension office to send the sample in? Or
you can basically just use a small plastic bag, like a Ziploc bag.
Oh, okay.
And basically what you would do is go out to the area with a trowel and a bucket, and take like 10 or 12 random samples from that berm.
Okay.
And then put them in the bucket, and then mix that thoroughly.
Okay.
And then take your sample from that mix and put it in the plastic bag.
Okay.
And you don't need that much, like a cup or so is fine.
Okay.
And then you can send that to the soil testing lab here at Iowa State University. And if you have a computer, okay, just go to the Iowa State University homepage.
Okay.
And there's a search box, and type in soil testing laboratory. It should go right to their site with their address and everything else.
Now, is there anything else that could be making these leaves turn yellow?
It could.
crazy season we had?
Yeah,
or
it could be a little bit due to lack of moisture. If it's a
well,
berm.
Well, I've been watering.
Oh, okay. Then that shouldn't be the cause.
Now,
I wondered if the frost, the late frost we had. Or
no, shouldn't
no.
be a factor. Do you have other plants growing on the berm?
Well, just some volunteer petunias that are coming up.
Okay.
And they look okay. And it's more on the edges of the berm than in the center. So I don't know.
Okay.
I'll do that soil test thing, and then I'll have a better idea. Does that, is there a fee for that?
Yes, there is. I think the regular fee is $10.
Oh, it'll probably
and
tell me that on the website.
Yes, it mm-hmm. does. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Terrell, thanks a lot from that call. We have an email now from Sylvia in Pocahontas. Is there, and this is a good question I was wondering myself, is there a list of Iowa's berry farms available online, especially ones that offer you pick?
I believe there is. We have the Iowa Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association. And so if they go to Google and type mm-hmm. in Iowa Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association, then they should have a list of Iowa growers on that page.
Also, if they go to visitiowafarms.org, visitiowafarms, all one word, .org, that lists many of the agritourism areas, UPIX, and other places that make it a real fun event for families. So visitiowafarms.org.
Plus, that one is very easy to remember.
Yes.
Here's another email from Matt in Mitchellville. My tomatoes are maybe 12 inches tall, but have been setting blooms. At this point, should I be pinching those blooms off or just let them go?
I would pinch them off probably for another couple of weeks or so. Let the plant grow and get quite large. If they start to bear when they're small, that retards their growth quite a bit, and that may affect yields down the road. So I'd probably pinch them off for another week or two.
Okay. James is next from Des Moines. Hello, James.
Yes, my dense yews suffered a hard winter. The deer stripped the branches off, and so they look pretty scraggly, but now they're starting to grow again, and I'm wondering when I can trim them so that stimulate growth and put in plant spikes, if that will do any good.
Well, they were in a way trimmed by the deer. So the nice thing is that yews do have the ability to recover from that. I probably wouldn't do a whole lot of pruning at this point. I really probably wouldn't. Normally, we can prune those in the spring and April and also in midsummer or so. If you want to fertilize, I would just use an all-purpose garden fertilizer like a 10-10-10, and I would do that as soon as possible and encourage some growth this spring, and that should aid the plant as it recovers from the deer browsing.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We have to take a strawberry question now, of course. Karen in Cedar Falls with a strawberry question. Hi, Karen.
Hi, I'm here.
Yes, you are.
My question is about an overgrown strawberry patch. I put the plants in about 4 years ago, and obviously the bed has quadrupled in size. What do I do, and how about fertilizing?
Are they a June-bearing variety?
Yes.
Okay, so they're producing a lot of fruit right now. My recommendation would be is immediately after the last harvest, pretty much when the berries have been all picked and there's not much left, within that week, I would go out and set your mower to about, so you're mowing them about 1 inch above the crown, 1 to 2 inches, and get them down low. This is a good time if you have a lot of weed problems to go in, and you can spray a 2,4-D product on that to control some of the weeds. And
yeah, no weeds.
No weeds. That's good. Good. And then what you need to do is narrow your rows back. And we suggest using a rototiller and rototilling them so you have about 8, maybe 10-inch wide strips.
Okay.
And then rototill what's left so you have a couple feet between each one, maybe a little more depending on your bed size. Then that'll do is those strawberries will come out and they will runner out into those mm-hmm. areas. Then the following year what you do is you take the old plants and keep the new where the new ones were runnering out.
Sure. I got it.
So you're renovating it is basically what you're doing.
Okay. And how about fertilizing?
It'd be a good time to fertilize right after you mow up down, remove the old leaves. And I would use, like Richard recommends, a 10-10-10 analysis, probably at the rate of 2 or 3 pounds per 100 square feet.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I'll do it.
Okay, Karen, good luck with that. We have a couple of lines open. That never happens. A couple of lines open. 866-780-9100. And we'll go next to Rick in Iowa City. Hi, Rick.
Morning.
Morning.
My question may be out of curiosity, stupidity, or just plain frivolous. But I was wondering why berries can grow on either trees, bushes, or almost like ground cover when it comes to strawberries.
Hey, did you, I don't know if you understood that. It's kind of a bad phone line there.
Well, I'm not sure.
Was he referring to strawberries in particular?
He just said berries.
Okay. Now,
are you there again?
That's better.
Okay. Yeah, I was mixing something up while I was talking to you on speakerphone. Now, I was wondering why berries can grow on like ground cover, like strawberries or bushes, and even trees, and why such a wide variety of areas from which you can get them.
We may have to... Richard and Linda, we need to, I think I'll make you wait about 2 minutes before you can answer that question. We have to take a break. So if you can, just we'll have your answer here coming up shortly after the break. As Talk of Iowa continues, the Heart Gang from Iowa State is Richard Geron and Linda Nave, Iowa State Extension. We have, we have one line open, so call us with your questions at 866-780-9100. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Dennis Reese today for Charity Nebbe. It's the Hort Gang from Iowa State. And our gang members today are Richard Geron and Linda Nave. And Richard and Linda, we wanted to give you a chance to answer Rick's question. Rick from Iowa City.
Well, all of this berry talk makes us all very hungry. But when we talk about why some berries are on the ground and some are on bushes and some are on trees, well, they're all different species. But the primary thing is nearly all plants produce a flower of some sort, and many of their flowers develop into fruits. And some of those fruits are small. We call them berries, but berry is a general term. And inside those berries are seeds. Sometimes they're on the outside, like in a strawberry, and sometimes on the inside. Let's take a mulberry, for example. That's on a tree, and the mulberries there produces a lot of fruit, but the birds eat those and disperse them. So it's the plant's natural way of dispersing its seed because the animals have to eat it. And it goes through the animal's digestive system, and that disperses many seeds around. That's why we have volunteer mulberry bushes all around. Strawberries, we don't see so much volunteer with our cultivated varieties, of course, but in the native wild strawberry, you do. The animals will eat those berries and disperse the seed. So we have berries as a result of the natural different species and growing on whether the species is a tree bearing fruit or a shrub or a plant on the ground.
Okay, great. Jim is calling from Orient. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I have two. First one is a question between my wife and I, and I put clay field tiles around my tomato plants to get them started. And I like to leave them on there for the season. It gives them some stability. You can pour the water in the clay tiles, and they kind of soak in. She thinks that the plants maybe get too warm and too hot if I leave the clay tiles on there. And then my second question is there any recommendations if you just planted new strawberries as to any chemical treatments to help keep the weeds out?
Well, regarding the clay tiles, what size tiles are you putting around the plants? How tall would they be?
They're like 5 inches in diameter, and they're probably 12 to 14 inches tall. It's a field tile like we used to use in Iowa.
I would say my recommendation is I don't see a problem with that. They do protect the plant from wind damage early in the season, which we've had a lot of this year. As far as heat, you will get a buildup of heat underneath in that tile, but the plant does tend to outgrow that, grows much taller. And as you said, it does provide some means of support for the lower foliage. And if any time you can keep that lower foliage on the tomato plant from sitting on the soil, that's you have less incidence of diseases. But as far as a problem or a heat, unless you're seeing some scorching on the foliage, I would say it's no problem to the plant.
As far as the strawberries and the weed control, unfortunately, there are very few herbicides labeled for use on strawberries. So basically, as far as a home gardener, it's hoeing and hand pulling for the most part.
Okay, thanks for that question, Jim. I just had a quick strawberry question. Sometimes in the store you see these humongously large strawberries.
Yes, you do.
Do we grow them that big here in Iowa?
Fortunately not, because they don't taste like anything. So we do have some, for example, All-Star is a variety. It does produce a fairly large berry, bigger than most, but not quite the size that you see in the store. And I must say, the ones in the store don't have much taste. Mm-hmm. So they're big, but they lack the taste.
I've certainly noticed that. Here's an email from Phyllis. We have a Cortland apple tree that has been bearing for about 5 years. We get nice-sized fruit, but the fruit rots from the inside out. Other than that, the apples look nice. Is this characteristic of this variety, or is there something we should do to prevent the rot?
Well, my first thought would be, is there some type of insect damage initially, which then causes maybe the apple to rot? That would be a possibility. So if that were the case, though, I would expect to see something on the skin, some type of puncture mark, some type of spot, and then that could lead to maybe the whole apple rotting. So if that were the case, then they need to spray the tree on a regular basis, beginning at blossom drop, and then doing that through the summer until right before they pick. Now, there might be some nutrient-type problem, possibly, too, if there's no damage to the skin, nothing at all, then there might be a nutrient issue. And what they might want to do is, if this occurs again, maybe send some samples into Iowa State so we can have a look at them.
Okay. Let's go next to Philip in Iowa City. Hi, Philip.
Hi, great show. Hey, not going to have a lot of time this year to use our garden, and of course the weeds have already started. And what I was thinking of doing was putting black plastic down to control the weeds. I tried the fabric material last year, and the weeds kept growing. So I'm wondering, will the black plastic kind of cook those weeds, and should I spray something before I put the plastic down, or is there a better alternative? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, you could till it. That would be one way to do it. And then maybe plant something like annual ryegrass or some cover crop that would grow quickly, keep out the weeds, and then you can actually till that debris into the soil in the fall of the year. So you might try some type of cover crop. That helps a lot. You actually add organic matter to the soil, but you're not adding weed seeds to the soil. So you might try that.
Mm-hmm. That'd be my recommendation, some type of a cover crop. Right? The black plastic, yes, will work, but it's not benefiting you or your soil at all. But the cover crop would be a good answer. And there are several cover crops you can buy at garden centers, and annual rye one of them, buckwheat another. So that'd be the best solution. And that's what commercial growers do. If they have a field like fallow, they'll put in a cover crop.
Okay. 866-780-9100, Hort Gang from Iowa State. Rod is next from Altoona. Hi, Rod.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Question regarding testing a tree. In light of this little fellow that was crushed by the tree in his yard when it blew over here this last weekend, I have got a big soft maple tree in my backyard. It's probably 3 feet in diameter, and I'm curious about that. I've got small grandchildren, and I'd hate to ever have anything like that ever happen to them or anybody else. Is there a way that you can test that tree, do a core sampling or something on it?
Well, probably your best bet is to contact a certified arborist and mm-hmm. have them come out and examine that tree to see if they see any signs of damage that may weaken the tree itself, making it prone to breakage. So, mm-hmm. and they know what to look for. There are some tools that you can use that can help to determine if a tree is hollow or not, but they tend to be quite expensive, and most arborists don't have those tools. But they're out there, so you might want to call around, and I would look in the phone book to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and I would look for those individuals that are certified arborists. I would contact them and see if they could come out, what kind of experience they have, expertise they have, and get their opinion. Now, there are some consulting arborists that only provide opinions or recommendations. They do not do the work at all. They just provide the recommendations or opinions, and you pay them a fee for their recommendation. So you have those two groups, the consulting arborists and the certified arborists. So I would want a trained professional.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Rod, thanks for bringing that up. This is a huge problem in some of the big cities in this country where branches are falling off due to the budget cutbacks in the forestry departments, and people are getting maimed and even killed from some of these falling branches.
Well, they can. The silver maple is a native tree to Iowa, and it's very adaptable, easy to plant, easy to grow, but its Achilles heel is the fact it's weak wooded, and it's very prone to breakage in a storm. So
okay, that's good to know that. Here is a question from Dan in Cedar Rapids, an email. I have large mullein plants growing mm-hmm. in my flower garden area. They have very large stalks bearing yellow flowers. Mm-hmm. Should I try to take those out? Are they invasive?
No, they're not invasive. They will set seed like flowers and weeds do. They are a biennial. They'll come back next year, if my assumption's right, and come back kind of be more of a low-growing thing. And then the following year, they'll send up that spike. So they're easy to get rid of. They pull out fairly easy.
Okay. Regina is next. Regina, hello.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
Iowa City.
Okay. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Unfortunately, in my beautiful backyard, I have a patch of stinging nettles. And to further complicate matters, it seems like there's a rose or a raspberry growing up in the middle. And so I'm wondering how to get rid of the nettles. I know that nettles are edible. I'm not inclined to do that. And I'm disinclined to use chemical treatment. Do you have any thoughts about how I can get rid of these? I've already been attacked by them.
Okay. So. Well, I would put on some gloves mm-hmm. and a long sleeve shirt and mm-hmm. trousers and my shovel, and I would go out there and dig them up. They do sucker. They do spread. So it may take more than one effort to do this, but I would physically dig them up and probably come back in a few weeks and do it again, and hopefully by the end of summer they would be totally destroyed. But digging probably is your best bet at this point.
Okay, and then I can put those in my compost?
You can.
Just
be persistent, because the stinging nettles are pretty persistent too. So
Yeah. You
have to be more persistent and just keep on digging them up. But I would think if you do a good job, they should be totally destroyed by the end of summer.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Good luck, Regina. Why do they call them singing?
Stinging.
Stinging.
Oh, stinging.
Stinging,
yeah.
Yes.
They leave a nasty rash.
I'm sorry, my copy said singing, and I thought, did they sing?
Nope,
they don't. They sting.
Yes.
I'm glad you clarified that. I'm very sorry. Let's go to Ann and Marion next. Ann, hello.
Hello. Yes, my question is, I put cocoa hull bean mulch in around my holly plants, and now they're coming up with like little spring worms that are popping up all over, and they're turning into gnats. Is there any way to get rid of those, or am I just going to have to take the mulch up?
Well, what I think I would probably do is maybe go out with a rake and kind of break the crust surface. They will sometimes do that when you apply them and it's wet, and then it gets extremely dry, you may get a crust forming on the surface, and I would just go out with a rake or a cultivator and just kind of break that apart so you get better air circulation. Sometimes you'll also get kind of a mold or something growing on the surface, too, where they turn kind of whitish or grayish. And right, again,
that's
I would,
what's happening.
Yeah, and I would just go out there and kind of break that surface and allow that to dry out a little bit, and that usually helps quite a bit. So sometimes at certain parts of the year, they may not look very attractive, but usually it's a short-term thing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good luck, Ann. Rebecca is next from Wisconsin. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I heard your comment earlier about the taking the blossoms off of the tomato plants for a couple of weeks. I was wondering if you'd recommend the same for pepper plants, too.
Oh, not tomato plants. We don't take the blossoms off tomato plants.
Well, when they're small, we do.
Oh, when they're small. When you're just putting them out, you do.
Right.
But once they're in the garden,
yeah.
Just let them go. But when you're just
right,
setting
yeah.
them out and they're the plants are struggling a little bit, yeah, take them off then. But not just for the first, just when you plant them, actually.
Okay. So if they're, my tomato plants are still about a foot, like the other caller had mentioned as well. So, but I was wondering if you would recommend the same for pepper plants when you first put them in as
right,
well.
If they're real small, mm-hmm. then yes, we
yes.
would go ahead and do that because they just, at that point, they really need to grow and get bigger in size. So if they're
mm-hmm.
quite small, then I would pinch those off if they try to form fruit.
And if they you do try to form fruit, those fruit typically are a little bit misshapen, deformed, and they don't do well. Oftentimes they may get blossom end rot on the bottom. They're just not ready to set fruit yet. But as after you've got them set in for a while, they just let them go. Just at planting time. I don't want to confuse other gardeners out there. Just at planting time when you have fruit on your plants.
Okay,
fruit
you.
And flowers on your plants.
All right, very good. Let's go next to Pam, who's calling from Ames. Hello, Pam. Pam, are you there?
Pam?
Pam. Did I get your name wrong?
Am I in Ames?
That's what it says here. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
I've heard recently a lot about tree roots being spread over the whole yard, but I always understood, especially with oaks, there's a taproot. Is this correct?
Well, yes, when they're small, but a tree root system is very, very shallow. The vast the vast majority of the tree roots are basically in the upper 12 inches of soil, maybe 18
okay.
inches of soil. So many people have this image where you see the top
mm-hmm.
of the tree, and they believe the root system is a mirror image of the top of the tree. That's not correct at all. Most of the roots are basically found in the upper 12 to 18 inches of soil. And they're there because that's where most of the nutrients are. But the tree roots also need to breathe. They need access to oxygen. And there is a little bit of oxygen in the pore space in the upper few inches of soil. So that's why they're there.
Thank you. And then a question, Dr. Oz, has us all looking for dried golden berries, and they're delicious. And expensive. Now, what are they? They're from this, you get 4 ounces for about $5, and they're delicious. They're not sweet, they're not sour, they're just good. And they are packaged, these particular ones are from, I believe, the East Coast.
And what kind of berries are they?
They're called golden berries.
I don't recognize that term.
Golden
berries. Okay. I don't know, I'm afraid.
Well, that's okay.
Do they have a pit or seed in the center, or?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
They like a raisin? Raisins usually
not
that expensive.
Not that small, no.
Well, we're going to have to end the broadcast, I guess, with a mystery here.
We're going to have to check into that.
Yeah, we'll check into
thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your program.
Okay, thank you, Pam. All right, we have to end it there. We have other callers we don't have time for, unfortunately, but the Hort Gang will be back next week, of course, Friday at 10 a.m. here on Talk of Iowa. Richard Geron and Linda Nave, Iowa State University Extension, thanks so very much.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Talk of Iowa's executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. We had help today from Garrett Van Leeuwen and Jason Burns in Ames and Allison Sullivan in Iowa City. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Dennis Reese, filling in for Charity Nebbe.